Blog Talk Radio.
The Young Cash from the Outlaw. It's your boy Al Capone.
What's up, and it's Bootleg the Rock Capone from the Dayton family.
Baby, it's your boy Uncle Luke.
What up, y'all? This is E-Shop.
Yo, 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 what's up? This your boy C-Murd, and I'm chilling with my boy Scott Beta, and you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. It's the hottest thing out right now, you heard me? Keep it true.
Man, it seems like we just did episode 207, Mac.
Hell yeah.
That was yesterday. That was yesterday. We had Gary Ballin, longtime Ruth.
We don't stop,
staff manager.
That's the thing. These motherfuckers got to know we don't stop.
No, we don't stop, man.
We can tell them about who we had on the show. We can tell them, you know, why we do it. But for real, UGS Radio, we don't stop, Prez. Let me give you a shout out real quick. You know, I'm kind of feeling it a little bit, but Prez, thanks for everything you do, man. You keep bringing us. We got another legend on the show tonight. Thanks for that shit.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, man. I met you through this show, so 3 years, man. We got none other than Bootleg of the Dayton family. Now, if you guys remember, we had him. We had we had all of Dayton family. We had Top Authority. And we had Jake, a fellow Jake Flake, on one fucking show. That's like an issue of Murder Dog covering Flint. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, live on audio. Let's bring in our guest right now. This is the one and only Rap Capone himself, Bootleg. Bootleg, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm hanging in there. What's happening with y'all, man?
Man,
what's going on, Bootleg?
Hey, man, just working, man. Trying to stay above the ground.
Yeah, I feel you on that, man. The older we get, I was just talking to you. You know, it's crazy because it's almost been 15 years since your first solo album dropped, Death Before Dishonesty, and people don't understand that album should have been multi platinum. That was one of the dopest albums of '99 for sure. It still stands its ground today.
Yep, I agree, man. Totally. You know, I mean. You know, I really believe that at the time, you know, Sony merged on me. I mean, Relativity merged into Loud, man. So I just got caught up in a whole lot of bad business, you know, at the end of the day. It really wasn't the record that stopped it from doing what it had to do with the business, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, sometimes you get caught up in that. We dropped a compilation in 2011 We had one of the supposed business guys fold on us right in the middle of the project, and that happens to so many people, you know. But you've been through so many different phases in the rap game. This could be a tough question, or maybe it won't be. But what's been your favorite era of the rap game?
Oh man, hands down, before the internet, easily,
yeah.
Man. I mean, you know, I have to admit that you know that it changed the whole, you know. Function of rap, man. I mean, you know, everybody rappers now because they got access to ears, you know. I mean, my kids, you know, I got kids, man, that ain't never even opened up a real CD.
Yeah.
So I have to say, hands down, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, for sure. I'm thinking to myself, like, 86 to about 90, 99, 2000.
Yeah,
and after that, the game just, it slowly started to go in a downward you know what I'm saying, just spiral out of control. It's crazy.
Yep, that's true indeed. You know, I mean, you know, you right now, you know, everybody that, you know, sell drugs feel like they rappers, and everybody that rap feel like they can sell drugs.
Yeah.
It's just like everybody trying to wear too many hats, man. Everybody want to be everything.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and there's only a few people that can pull shit like that off effectively. You know, a lot of people got to understand, back in the day, you know, we had to build up the context in the industry. You know what I'm saying? It took years to build up the context. Now all you got to do is get on Facebook or Twitter, you know, and boom, there you are, you know. But I do like the fact that I ain't got to deal with publicists anymore. Sorry.
Me too.
Sorry to all the PR people. Yeah, me too.
I agree with you, definitely.
Yeah,
we took the middle man out of the game as well.
They always want something. You know,
yep,
it's like
true
fucking
indeed.
Lawyers. They always want something, and then they never want to give nothing in return.
That is,
you know,
true
but,
indeed, man. I couldn't have said it better myself, bro.
But, you know, you've been in this motherfucker for years now, and you put out many classics, you know what I'm saying, not only as a solo artist, but, of course, with the Dayton family. What do you got coming out in the future we can look forward to?
Well, right now, man, I just finished up actually two pieces, man. Me and Shoestring both in the studio right now completing solo albums. I got a mix CD that I just finished and shot like three videos for that. Then I'm finna hit them with maybe in the next 2 to 3 weeks. I have some new stuff everywhere, man. I'm just setting up the foundation for it so I can release it the right way and make sure everybody got access to it.
So you get ready to hit them with a bunch of shit then.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this time when we drop them, we plan on going for the next 2-3 years with music consistently coming out, you know, and that's what we've been missing. You know, that's been a missing factor for us in, all throughout our whole career, not being consistent and keeping music out there for them.
Yeah.
Right. Because y'all get a good following when you do drop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You come out with something, and it's like a classic, like FBI.
Yeah.
Shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Motherfuckers still pumping that shit. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, we've been discussing.
They keep us wanting it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we've been discussing going back and shooting that whole album again visually, because when we released it, we never did no visuals. We never toured on it. Ain't nobody ever seen us really perform that outside of Michigan, really. So we're going to go back and probably fuck with that some more, too.
Right, because Prayers always talk about that. He always talk about, like, because a lot of people didn't have, even if they was on majors, they wasn't trying to throw y'all the money to get, like you said, the visuals. Like, some of the shits that y'all did years ago, if you took and made videos to it now, it might be able to bring in a whole nother fan base to the shit y'all was trying to tell us 20 years
ago.
It'll be
a beautiful jab to the jaw to the labels, because now all that stuff, all the rights and ownership of that music is back to us now. So to re-wake it back up would be an excellent move.
Exactly. They could have been made that money and helped y'all get on, but now you guys can pretty much take control of that shit. Do you feel like you guys can take control of the hip-hop game and take it over from, not necessarily from what it's doing now, because y'all really not looking at majors like that, because you already know how the majors is, but do you think the OGs can come back into the game and set this shit up the way it's supposed to be set up?
I definitely believe that, man. I mean, at the end of the day, you look at it, man, the music, it's not really no solid music in the game right now, period, to me. I mean, ain't nothing like, ain't no rappers out there. I mean, you know, back in the 90s, people wanted to dress like rappers. Like, you know, you saw Pac or Big, people wanted to emulate that and dress like them. Now, what rapper these days you want to go out and have your kids go try to look like or emulate? It ain't nothing out there, you know what I mean? It's all weak to me.
You could have said that better, because I agree 100%. If you look at it nowadays, you know, and I don't care what people want to do in the privacy of their own home or whatever, but when you're trying to influence my kids, and especially the male youth of America, to dress feminine and to act like girls, and rap has no substance. They want to dumb down our youth. I ain't cool with that shit. I won't let that slide, man. And I have a good, damn good feeling you won't either.
No, I promise you, man. I'm going to stand up for real motherfucking niggas, man. I mean, and just real men as a whole. I mean, you know, all that watered-down version, they talk so thuggish, man, and they can't even breathe because they shit so tight, man. Jeans and shit, wearing girl pants. When did that become acceptable? Men dressing as women and wearing girl clothes, cross-dressing and shit, but supposed to be the face of hip-hop, the face of music. I mean, you know, in the 90s, they wouldn't even have been allowed to rap in the shit they wear today.
No. You got the shit beat out of you, I would imagine.
Yeah,
came around like that. Or you would have been tossed off in the side with PM Dawn or something. You know, there's Kid and Play and PM Dawn over there, and, you know, whoever else. You know, but you had categories and you had different sections. You knew if this dude was from Flint. You heard Bone Scandalous. You knew he was from Saginaw, from Flint. You know what I'm saying? Dayton family, same thing. There's no distinction nowadays.
No, man.
No distinction. And it's fucking horrible.
Yeah, it is. And it's disappointing that none of the rap, you know, I mean, like the OGs that still got the access to people's ear ain't speaking on it. Ain't nobody saying nothing about it. I mean, like cats like Cube and them that pioneered a lot of the stuff, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, they probably don't give a fuck, but I would still be speaking on my legacy of if this how y'all, this the motherfucking thanks I get, y'all turn it into a fag show or gay parade, rap, is that's what it is?
Right.
You know? And that's just how I look at it. I mean, to the day I die, man, I'm going to rep it, and I'm going to keep my music the same, trill, solid, honest music. That's all I know how to make. I can't go in there and sing and jump around and make little chant music and shit like that. It's just not in me.
No, man. When you listen to, you know, especially like when I pop in the first album or FBI, it's like, man, this shit is just unfuckwittable. It's on the same level as UGK, 8-Ball, MJG, and all the other greats. But do you feel, though, that the Dayton family has not fully gotten the props that you guys deserve? Because I feel you guys are very underappreciated in the rap game.
I would have to say, man, I would say underexposed, man. I mean, you know, for us to have sold as many albums as we've sold, we were young guys, man. You got to think, we were teenagers, so we didn't know about, you know, getting up and getting on the road. You know, we didn't see that game until we really started messing with ICP. And when we got over there with ICP and saw that machine and saw that the way they functioned and the way they constantly did tours and the income that they was generating, then the light came on. People was trying to keep us blinded to that aspect of the game.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they didn't want. No, of course not, because people always want to make money off of your talent. They want to. They want you to put in the legwork and you to put in the blood, sweat, and tears and years, and then they want to profit off of it. Those are fucking snakes, leeches, bums, rats, and parasites, and they need to be exterminated. You know what
I'm
saying?
I agree.
The motherfuckers
totally
need to be like George Carlin said: fence off a state and throw the motherfuckers in a pit somewhere, let them all find a fuck and rape each other. You know?
Yeah, I agree, bro. I agree 100%. You know? Yeah.
It's horrible.
You know,
horrible.
The Dayton family is paying for a lot of college tuitions for other people's kids, man. You know, and at the end of the day, hey, it was a humbling lesson, man. But now that we grown, man, you know, this is the fourth quarter of the game. I'm trying to, you know, get me, you know, 6-7 zeros out this motherfucker before I'm done, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm the same way as a writer, man. I know some of my reviews, my interviews, I review to interview people I didn't have to. I brought a lot of people to Murder Dog myself, to Black Dog's attention. You know what I mean? And I know I put money in people's pockets, and motherfuckers can't even look back. But that's how it is. That's how it is, man. The game is cold and it's heartless. You know, that's what anybody getting into the game, like you said, all these new SoundCloud and Facebook rappers, you know, if you really are serious, you really do have talent, I suggest that you, you know what I'm saying, do your research. Don't just come in the game and think you're going to be a star right away. It takes a lot of fucking years.
Yes, and then, you know, something else I tell a lot of cats, too. I mean, if you can't get your hometown first, you will never make it. You got to make sure home bag you first. You know, the Dayton family started off as a local Flint group, man. We was rapping for Flint only, you know, and then once you get the support of Flint, that spreads to the surrounding areas, and it spread it to the next state and so forth, you know. And at the end of the day, a lot of cats, you know, fuck rapping for stardom anyway, for starting off. You got to rap because it's in your heart and you got something that you want to express to people. You know, if you coming in the game just doing it just for a check or just doing it just for a hobby, you're not going to succeed anyway because people are going to feel that vibe off your music.
Yeah. Yeah, true. True talk, real talk. I had the pleasure of reviewing your first album. And you had many tracks on it, like We're Gonna Ride and... you know what I'm saying? I like that one. I forget the name of the song, but you were talking about putting a clothes hanger in his nose and pulling out his brain.
That Before Dishonesty.
Yeah, that's the title track. Talking about his cerebellum and shit. And
yeah.
I didn't even think, because back then, you know, I'm 19 years old. I'm like, what the fuck is a cerebellum? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You know, you did a song "Fantasies" on there, and I was more for the murder shit, you know, that you did.
Okay, got you.
Talking about
every gangster,
and all
every
that,
gangster
but,
got a sentimental side to him.
But yeah, this song originally though, it didn't have Left Eye, or well, it had Left Eye on it, but you guys couldn't use her. What happened with that?
Let me tell you, man, a good friend of mine, man, you know, she passed away. While I was still in prison, I was on my way home. So I reached out to a chick named Tabeth. She was living in Atlanta, and she was hanging with Left Eye every day, you know, and they was real good friends. So I set it up when I got out of prison to fly down there, you know, and meet with her to see if I can get a feature from her. So it's a quite long story. I'm gonna cut it to the chops of it. But anyway, we paid her. I flew out there, man, and she was so much like me. I mean, you know, it shocked me, man. She was a female version of me, straight, just gangster, man. She was, you know, she was a thug, man. I loved her, man, because she was outspoken, honest, and she kept beautiful women around her, man. When I went to her house to do the song, it was like 25 beautiful, I'm talking about that Colombian, Dominican, you know, Brazilian, beautiful women at her house, man. And that's all, you know, and we kicked it. I stayed out there for like 3 days, man, and we got in there and did the record, man, and that's what it was. But after we cut the record, motherfuckers saw how hot it was, and her label got to hating, LaFace and them, and all of them, they was hating like a motherfucker. They wouldn't even give me the clearances.
See, and that's a shame because that could have been 4, 5, 6 million copies sold right there. That would have been
yep.
That would have been one of the biggest hits.
You know, yep, with visuals, yep, yeah.
Definitely.
Yep, they threw a roadblock in my way, man. After I had paid her, you know, like I think maybe like it was $10,000-$15,000 I paid her and couldn't even use the song.
Wow. Wow. And then, you know, at the same time, you know, you always had the police fucking with you guys and, you know, just
it's been a struggle, man.
You kept grinding. When you guys put out FBI, you were locked up. But
I came home for a couple of weeks. Yep.
But the album was just fucking unbelievable, you know.
Yep, you know I always tell people, man, when I talk to like younger cats, man, you know, it's not a lot of people that can say that they've been through every single phase of the criminal justice system. I've been through A to Z. I've been on juvenile probation. I've been in boys training school. I've been on tether. I've been to boot camp. I've been to the county jail. I've been to state prison. I've been to federal prison. I've been through every single phase of the criminal justice system from A to Z.
Well, Jesus Christ,
hey, you know what's
like,
good,
though? You've been a bad motherfucker.
Right.
What the hell,
right.
What the hell
but
you been
the thing
so
is, though, this is the thing, though, Prez. This was bigger than it, though. You still right here talking to us right now.
That's
you've been through all that shit. You know what I'm saying? You done been through all of that. And everybody knows somebody that went through some of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you done been through all of it, man. Your story
needs
to
a movie,
especially, yeah, if you still out here trying to do it, you know what I'm saying?
And I'm not jumping on the NWA bandwagon because long before they even thought about making an NWA movie, I thought there should have been a fucking Rap-A-Lot movie, a Hate Family movie, a Spice Girls movie.
Chris, see, this the thing. We was on the bandwagon before it was even called the bandwagon because we was fans of them from the jump, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we don't ever get put in the bandwagon.
Yeah.
No, we want to push motherfuckers off our bandwagon.
There you go.
We on the bandwagon, but I want to push some of you fake motherfuckers off of it. Because tarnishing.
I'm with you, man. I'm pushing motherfuckers with you, bro.
Yeah, man. They tarnishing what we had. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not mad that they made the NWA movie, but I'm mad at how society looking at it because I remember when they didn't want them to do shit.
Yeah,
that's right.
We still bought them albums.
That's right.
We still paid for that shit. You know what I'm saying? I still got my ass whooped because my mother heard me singing one of them songs and was like,
me too,
you cussing. It wasn't because of the song. It was because of what I said, you know what I mean? But that's real shit.
You weren't a little badass unless you got caught in school with a Two Live Crew, Ghetto Boys, or NWA record.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
If you didn't get caught with one of the motherfuckers, you just Sony Walker and booted out of school, then you was good in school in the books, but...
Exactly.
Let's play the song.
Friend.
This is the
exactly.
song Fantasies. This is the version with Left Eye. Has this ever been played before anywhere?
No. Actually, man, you would be the first to ever play it. Ain't nobody never heard it, but you know this would be the first time it's ever been played.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, we're gonna play it right now. We'll be right back with Bootleg. Hit that line 714-409-0548. Go to UGSforLife.com. We'll be right back.
You know, somebody once told me that dreams are fantasies with the possibility of becoming a reality.
I'm having a type of fantasy, riding under palm trees, a Corvette convertible, feeling the summer breeze, conversations on the phone till the night ends, I'm saying things that make you want to tell your girlfriend, the fireplace
face is burning hot and your body sweats. Beside my back while I'm passing you the mold wet. Your Liz Claiborne got me on a natural high. Your toes polished, ankle braces make you look fly. No need to rush, baby, hold me like a love story. And you ain't frontin' cause I know you got love for me. How does it feel to be alone with the rap Capone? To come together, make your love, it's like a quiet storm. Your pretty smile makes me wanna put my drink away and push play so we can listen to some Marvin Gaye. This is my fantasy, I'm hoping it'll come true. A life of happiness together, baby, me and you. Holding hands, taking cruises on the blue sea. Sending you flowers to your job makes you think of me. And all my partners say I'm tripping, but I'm staying strong. Cause every gangster got a sentimental side to him. So let's enjoy all the days and all the nights alone. We riding horses in the fields by our summer home. I pray to God cause I hope you're understanding me. Now close your eyes, let's fly. Cause baby, you're my fantasy.
I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby, of you and me. I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby, of you and me. I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby, of you and me. I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby, of you and me.
Now, what would I do if I was sitting on top of the world? Money and fame was written like diamonds and pearls. Cadillacs and Lamborghinis, to name a few. Silent dreams in my head to ride away with you. In the midst of the night, I stand to leave it all. Just one look in your eyes, what can you stand it for? And I would never look back to see the things that I've been headed for. White sand beaches and phenomenal bliss. Watching waves cascade and break up in the mist. Sipping wine from seashells and touching satin lips. Too many kisses, I mean addicted, I need a fix. Intoxicated and open to whatever you wish. All I dream, you and me, chromed out GS3s down the Audubon. On the coast of overseas, virtual fantasies, a virtual reality. Never leave and I promise to keep my sanity. Wishing well, casting spells that they would never tell. By the goals, what I'm told, follow the rainbow swell. Skinny dipping in the water before the night's demise. Tossing pennies in the sand at copper sunrise. What we can do in a minute is worth eternity. Every second you up in it is total ecstasy. IRA, independent, and real with attitude. It's fantasy.com, keeping you in the mood.
I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby, of you and me. I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby, of you and me. I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby, of you and me. I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby.
You got me shooting with my left eye open, hoping that you're seeing all of the things that me and you is capable of being. Becoming, because I know that you really want it. Getting blooded, bending corners in the black 600. On a mission, baby, the fantasies are coming true. Dripping honey on your body to lick it off of you. Open your mouth, baby, and taste the strawberries. Ice cream, double scoop, coming from Ben and Jerry's. Summertime, we recline on my ninja katana. In the mall, we can ball from Flint to Atlanta. Your body on my body, in special places. Making love while I'm watching you make the funny faces. In the zone, nobody's home when we intertwine. You slept yours, now baby, I'm coming for mine. Toss salad, love salad, the jacuzzi was greater than the time we made love in the movie theater. Candlelight dinners, motion lotion, edible panties. Limousine ride, dropping us off at the Grammys. Got awarded and you promised that you'd never forget me. Blowing kisses in the crowd, aiming them so they hit me. Shift the after party, it's time to chase some waterfalls. So I creep to locations where no one can call. I've been digging on you way since back in middle school. For three reasons, you crazy, sexy and cool.
I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby, of you and me. I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby, of you and me. I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies, baby, of you and me. I'm having fantasies, romantic fantasies.
Hello?
Yo, what up, dog?
Fred. Yeah, that's the shit, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Hey. Now, just imagine
that's
20 years ago.
Fucking shit. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? But I'm glad you're still around and you're still here to get your message across. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, definitely,
because,
man. Hey, I appreciate y'all giving me a venue to express it.
No doubt. You know what I'm saying? So is there any talks of doing tours or...
Yeah, we work.
Hitting the road.
Yep. I promise y'all that everybody will be seeing us real soon, man. We working, man, just talking to cats, man, trying to get people to jump off the porch and spend some money. You know, because when we come out there, we want to come out there the right way and give people a good show. But we finna get out there, man. Hopefully by the end of this year, we'll be out everywhere, man, all over the country, giving them all them old records, man, and all the new stuff. We finna flood them again, man. We definitely finna do that.
Right. So, like, if you had it your way in the hip-hop game and with the Dayton family and everything, how would you want to see it, like, right now?
I would want to see, you know what I would love to see, man? I would love to see it go back to motherfuckers having to get approved. You couldn't just get on the mic, man, and make albums and labels sign you. You had to have some kind of street credibility. You had to be accepted by other rappers. You couldn't just pop up out the blue. You know, back in the day, labels would call other labels and talk to the rappers on that label. I mean, what's up with this guy? Y'all like his music? Is he thorough? You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody vouching for these cats no more. Everybody just rapping now, man. You just got everybody rap, man. It was back in the day, man. You know, certain type of cats were scared to rap when we was out battling and rapping with cats, man, back in the 90s. Some cats wouldn't even open their mouth and rap because that wasn't what they were. They weren't rappers.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, one thing I always wanted to ask about the Dayton family, though, like when 3-6 Mafia first made they, you know, they was known in the town and shit. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knew them. Memphis, Arkansas, the surrounding areas. But when you guys first hooked up with 3-6 Mafia, what was the feel like working with 3-6 Mafia and Lord Infamous?
Oh, man, it was incredible. First, let me say rest in peace to my man, Nick Scarfo, man. He was a real close affiliate of DJ Pauls and them boys.
Scarfo,
yeah, man, rest in peace. That was my bunkie. He was in the joint with me, too, you know. And he just passed away recently, man. And back to the question, I was going to say that when we first met them boys, man, guess what the first thing we noticed? That they was getting money. We said, shit, man, these niggas making the same kind of music we making, but they eating. We go to Memphis, them boys living good and you can just get that lively feeling fucking with them. It was incredible just getting with some other street cats that was on our same level and same page, man. It was like an even challenge to us. That's what it was.
Right. Yeah, hell yeah, because y'all made some classic cuts. I always felt like 3-6 did, as far as working with outside groups and different people in the industry, I always felt like they did some of their best work working with the Dayton family and Crucial Conflict, you know what I'm saying, like out of Chicago. Like, y'all made classic songs on the fucking Tear the Club Up Thugs album and other albums, you know what I'm saying, like classic fucking songs, you know what I'm saying, like,
that's what let us know
in Memphis that they made it, man. They fucking with other motherfuckers. They got the Dayton family on their album. That was some big shit.
Yeah, those was my niggas, man. Still to this day, I just popped that Juicy recently, man. Still to this day, my niggas, man. Because they was just down to earth, authentic, man. They was just like us, man. Matter of fact, Shoestring still got a goddamn he got a quarter mile car that he got from Paul. Still to this day, man. With the brand new engine in it, and yeah, he still got that, man. Just you know, put up in storage, man. We was swapping cars back then, and women, and money, and drugs, every
right,
motherfucker thing.
Doing it.
You know?
Hey, that's some shit. Hell yeah, man. I'm glad y'all got to live that, man, because y'all put out classic music, and for Memphis as well as Flint. You know what I'm saying? Because them two are the most slept on cities in the hip hop industry. Period.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? If you ask me, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so much talent out of those cities. And since you guys have came out, it ain't really been nothing else besides you guys. Like, Memphis might have a little more upside. You got the Yo Gotti's. You know what I'm saying? You still got 8-Ball MJG. You got, but what about Flint, Michigan? Is there some new talent or new guys there that you know? Like I used to like the Scambino Mob, too. Rest in peace, Bone Scandalous. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had... It was like they was carrying on from what you guys already started, as well as MC Bree, the Midwest Messiah, I should say.
Yeah,
when
I agree.
When you talk about rap shit,
that's 100%.
You know what I'm saying?
MC Bree,
they come fuck with him.
Who that?
MC Bree. Nobody can fuck with him.
Breed was the grandfather around this motherfucker, man. Breed the one put niggas in the booth and showed them how to record and lay their vocals, man, and when not to stack vocals and do a single track, when to ad-lib. Breed was like the facilitator, man. He taught me so much, man. Right before he passed away, I was running with Breed every day. I had moved down to the same city he was living in, and we was talking every day, man. And Breed just showed me a whole lot about the game, you know, because the whoopings we took, he took them before we did.
Right. Do you think if Breed was still around that he would be getting a lot of recognition, or do you think they would play Breed like how they play other Midwest hip-hop legends?
Do you think he could have went
bigger than what he was at the time of his passing?
I definitely think that he could have been a lot bigger, man, because you got to keep in mind most of the cats that's big, like the Cubes and a lot of the big guys that got the million-dollar companies love Breed. Breed ain't no future in your front. Matter of fact, was in the NWA movie. You know what I mean? It was just the love they had for Breed, because Breed had that first mainstream crossover record where they heard it everywhere. You know what I mean? And Breed had so much dope music, man. Left any man, Breed was just a jewel, man, a diamond. That's what he was.
Hell yeah. Hey, I love MC Breed. Hey, ain't no future in your front. I was living in Kankakee, Illinois, and when that shit came out, man, it was like, damn, man, like, this dude, he killing it. So, like, everybody from my area, they wanted to be like that, even before Twista came out, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was like, damn, Breed. And then you had a new era with, like, Esham and his movement and everything that came out. What's the influence that Esham had on Midwestern hip hop?
I feel like
Esham don't get enough shine either.
Man, no, but listen, Esham, one thing about him, he might not get that you know, the spotlight, but he put millions in the game. I'm talking about he made lots of money, man. He wasn't just no motherfucker. He was a businessman. He had his company set up back before niggas even knew what an independent record label was. He cataloged
right.
for $3-4 million recently.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was a businessman way back before, you know, psychopathic. He was back then. He was thinking, you know, start a company and let me get a label and let me put all my own music out. He was thinking independent back in the late 80s.
So pretty much he had y'all thinking about that too, because y'all seen what he was doing.
Definitely, man. Esham influenced everything around us, man. That little red CD, the little red cassette that he had, man, we rolled that motherfucker to it. It was white when we was through riding that motherfucker.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. See, cassettes. People don't even know about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't even know about getting cussed out because you took somebody else's tape and put your favorite song
You had
on
to fight,
man. I might have got cussed out for some Dayton family shit. Yeah, man, I might have got cussed out for some Dayton family shit that I dubbed over. And then my grandmother or my mother or my aunt was thinking they was finna listen to Johnny Taylor or Bobby Womack or something. Next thing you know, it's one of y'all songs popping on, you know what I'm saying? And then they like,
yeah.
Well, what the fuck is they listening to? So that's, you know, y'all music kind of made them start searching our bedrooms, looking under our beds and doing, but it was the real shit though. Because once they got to hearing it, they was like, "Well, fuck." My parents probably was thinking, "Why we didn't think of this? Why we wasn't saying that shit?"
Yeah, you cool.
These motherfuckers getting paid off shit they already know. So a continuation
exactly.
on. So like my kids now, fast forward 20 years later, 95, I moved to another part of the country, and now it's 20 years later, and so my kids, they get to hear Fetty Wap. I don't know the other dude. They got the whipping and nae nae. That's a big song right now. That's like the Bankhead Bounce or the Tootsie Roll. That's like the new. Every year they come up with a new dance song.
Yeah,
okay,
yes,
so I'm cool with that. But how do you feel the portrayal of the hip hop game as a genre is in the mainstream media as opposed to what you guys was trying to accomplish coming out? Because I'm pretty sure when y'all was making music, y'all wasn't thinking, like, we doing this for hip-hop. No, y'all trying to get paid, but at the same time, we're going to represent where we from.
Definitely. At 100%, man. I just don't feel like it's no longevity, man, in gimmicks, man. If you just coming out with a gimmick song, I don't care if you sell 20 million albums, that's going to be it for you. After that, that's it. Ain't nothing
right.
left to it. Don't nobody else want to, you know, you're going to run out of dances to come up with, eventually. You're going to run out of that. You know, I think the truth live forever. As long as you're telling the truth, that's why I feel that we didn't had such long careers, man. Because if you're telling the truth and you can admit your flaws, people will listen to that. Because most people got the same flaws as I got. So when I rap about my flaws, I'm talking directly to their heart. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers like, man, I do the same shit he do.
Right. Right. And you done went through it all, man. You know what I'm saying? I commend you, man, for being out here on these streets. Hopefully you don't have to go through that situation again. Because nowadays they killing motherfuckers for throwing their hands in the air. You know what I'm saying? I live in St. Louis, and this shit is crazy, man. But I don't want people to think just because I live in St. Louis that I got some different awareness of what's going on. Because this shit been happening before Mike Brown, before Rodney King even.
But right now, y'all are the eye of the country. Everybody watching what's going on where y'all at. You know what I'm saying? What that movement y'all got going on down there really woke cats up here. Everybody paying attention to that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that movement going to spread to other cities, man. That problem y'all got down there happening in Michigan every day, too. The same thing happening in Flint all the time, man.
Man, that's crazy. That's crazy. It's crazy because... We you would think that in this day and age we'd be so past that people would come together, you know what I'm saying? Especially like with this movie that came out, the Straight Outta Compton. Everybody hype on that. And like I said, man, like I'm glad that the movie came out, but at the same time it's like, yeah,
back,
people say, "Oh, you on the bandwagon?" No, I've been on the bandwagon. I was on the bandwagon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a lot of the people that's going to see that movie don't even know nothing about the fucking albums. They just know it's a rap movie. They don't know the history.
Yeah.
They didn't shed no blood to them songs or in the hood selling no rocks to that
mm-hmm.
music or skipping school drinking to that music. They just see it on the big screen. It's a rap movie. That's why they're going to see it.
Yeah, it's a fad to them. To us, you know what I'm saying, growing up, it was revolutionary. It was just amazing to hear someone say fuck the police on a record.
What?
You know.
Yes. Indeed.
And nowadays, it's more relevant than ever. I hate to say it. I mean, back then it was bad. They were ramming houses with tanks and all kinds of shit. But nowadays, you got people with actual footage, you know what I'm saying, of cops just murking fools, and they're not getting convicted. You know, they're very few of them are even getting, they're just getting desk jobs or leave with pay. You know, it's crazy. You know,
like your boy said,
motherfuck the cops, man.
That's true indeed. I mean, you know, like a lot of people have been saying out there in St. Louis with my man that you know, you got good and bad in everything we do. You know what I mean? All of them ain't fucked up. So, I wouldn't say they're all fucked up. I'm going to say this, that you got motherfuckers that take authority to the next level sometimes. Sometimes motherfuckers get a job where they can control other people and they can't control their bitch at home and they take it out on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The problems become your problems.
And we all been guilty of that, man. It's been times that I might have had a problem here at the house, and I might have been going through some things, and I went to work, and I was like, damn, man, I'm tripping, man. Like, I'm probably just tripping off these dudes because I'm going through something else. Like, that just goes to prove that we all human. You know what I'm saying? We all go through the same shit.
Let me tell you.
You know
Let me
saying?
Tell you this, man. I'm gonna give you a perfect example with me, man. You know, a motherfucker being a convicted felon, I can't carry no pistol. So I went and got my girl a gun license, man. So I went and bought like a couple 40s, right? Since I got them pistols, man, it's been irking me to just ride with her and hang with her and carry it. It gave me a power trip too. I had to step back, like, man, put these motherfucking guns up and sit your ass down. You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't do a boulet.
Yeah.
Illinois, you know, with that, they got the medical card now for the marijuana, the marijuana card. But if you get the card, you can't have a gun. You know what I'm saying? So, but you could drink all the fucking whiskey you want, all the fucking liquor you want, and you can go around drunk as fuck shooting up everything. But you can't smoke a joint, be cool, relax, and be happy.
That's funny you brought that up, man. We just performed at the Cannabis Cup last weekend down here, man, and that was the most, man. That was my first time ever going to one. And if you ain't ever been to one, make sure you catch the next Cannabis Cup, man. It was some of the most erotic weed in the world at this motherfucker. They was
man, I want to go to that motherfucker with y'all, man.
I'm not missing another one, man. I'm at that motherfucker every year. I don't give a fuck what state it's in.
Yeah. Right, we trying to go to that motherfucker with y'all, man.
The Cannabis Cup, man.
So, fuck with me. There's many clouds of smoke everywhere, I imagine.
Oh, my God, man. If you wasn't smoking, you was high, man. They was giving away ounces for free at the tents.
Fuck. Can you imagine going to the spot back in the day? You know, you just want to get a dub sack or a fucking dime bag. Can you imagine a dude be like, well, here you go, man. I'm feeling generous today. Here's an ounce.
Yeah.
They were giving away OZs. Fuck.
They was giving away ounces of that shit, nigga. $300-$400
ounces. Right, I'm about to say, Prez, I have family members that wouldn't even give a nigga no shit like that.
a pinner of some hammer.
My cousin is the plug. He's the one that got the shit, and he's still charging me. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But he got the shit at my house.
Jesus Christ, man.
There were 200 different vendors at that motherfucker, and they was all on that same tip.
Shit, my pockets would be sagging, man. Jesus, that's crazy.
Bro, we left that motherfucker with so much weed, we were scared to drive home, man.
I don't blame you, man. You stash this shit on the highway like we gonna come back about 7 days.
Right.
We gonna pick that shit up. Ain't nobody seen that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well,
they just need to legalize it all around anyway, man. They just, you know, all these I feel like California been doing medical weed. They ain't been doing the recreational. But all the recreational states is like right now is like the test pilot to see what they can do when they do it. So they need to just go ahead and make it legal, man. Let us smoke, man. I love to smoke a joint. My son just turned 17 today. I love to smoke a joint with him if that's what he was on. You know what I'm saying? Like, who better to smoke a joint with than your motherfucking daddy?
Yeah, you right. You better say it, man.
You know what I'm saying?
That's going to be the best conversation y'all ever had.
Yeah, man. I've been waiting on that. My dad probably still waiting on the same shit, too. But, you know, that's just how it go.
Yes, sir.
But I feel like the music that y'all made for us, man, coming up, man, on the real, especially if you still making new music, it's important for people to know not only the history and where you came from, but to know that you still make music.
Yes,
and
sir.
It's still a lot of music that haven't been heard that you already made.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It needs to be heard, man. You know what I'm saying? And this is the format for it.
Well, you know what I want to do? I want to make sure I get with y'all, man. When I get this thing all done in the next week or so to come, I'm gonna make sure I get y'all the full version of it out there to you, man. So y'all have all of it. Matter of fact, I'm gonna put y'all a full package together of everything.
Man, I appreciate it. Man, that's real. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We would definitely be looking forward to that. I wanted to ask you. We were talking about Isham earlier. By the way, that's the first. He made the first weed song I ever heard, which was True. Of course, you were talking about the red tape. What were your days like on Overcore, man? Because I remember I reviewed just about all those fucking albums from Kool Keith to, you know, the Isham and yourself. What were those days like? Because I really thought that was the label to be the Midwest No Limit. And what happened?
Well, actually, man, I'm gonna keep it 100 with you, man. You know that Scott Santos, the president of that label, ran off of millions of dollars, man. You know he just vanished, man.
He just went away.
He got Isham out a few million, too.
Oh, man.
So that's how that crumbled. You know what I'm saying? Everybody put their faith in him. We felt just like you felt, that it was going to be the next big thing in the Midwest. But after the money got to flowing, man, cats be breaking wide, man. And if you ain't got your papers together and your business in order, man, motherfuckers are running away with millions of your dollars, man.
This motherfucker.
Right.
That was, you know, I mean, I really thought you guys were really, really on the verge. I mean, album after album, you had Mastermind, Nodis, you had your brother, too, Shu. Eventually, I imagine.
Ghetto E.
Aiden Family albums on there.
Yeah, Ghetto E.
Ghetto Theater, man. That was a fucking classic. You know, Isham and him did that, and then I forget who else was on that one, that one track, but that was a motherfucker.
On our album?
No, on the Ghetto E album. It was Isham, him, and there was another guy in there, a group.
I've been listening to that song too, man. Fuck, I can't think of it.
Something, The Resume of a Killer. That's it.
That's my shit. Yeah, I wrote that.
Resume of a Killer.
That's a dope ass song, right?
Isham kind of shared a verse together. That was dope as hell. You know,
yep. Overture was the shit, man. Scott Santos just was a terrible businessman. You know, and we run into a lot of that, man. You know what I thought we was going, you know, really, who was going to take us all the way to that level too? Psychopathic.
Psychopathic.
Because of the machine that they had.
When I saw you guys get,
right.
I'm going to be real with you, Bootleg. When I saw you guys get with Psychopathic, just like when I saw Isham, just like when I saw Breed, I thought, man, they're going to drop the ball because they don't want to know. But this is me from the outside looking in. I've just paid attention.
Okay.
But it looks
now,
like they don't want nobody getting higher than them, kind of like over at Strange.
Your exact words is what came to fruition, man. But it was never expected for us. You know, it was kind of designed over there to, you know, for you to be to a certain level, and that's that. You know what I mean? And you know, the tour game, when you show us the tour game, we game. Once you show it to us, we got it. You know what I mean? Hey, you take us on one tour, we coming right back through that motherfucker the same way you took us. You know, so it was a whole lot of roadblocks being through, man. This game so fucked up, man, no matter how much talent you got, it's always somebody throwing roadblocks in the way. Roadblocks. Even people that fuck with you, just throwing roadblocks. Don't want to give you the connect. Don't want to give you the plug. Don't want to help you do the shows. It's just that type of game, man.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a shame, but at the same token, it's part of history now. You know what I'm saying? You're still here. You're still making music. You got plenty of things to do in the future. What does the future look like for the Dayton family as a group?
Well, right now, man, I just finished up, like I said, my mix CD and my solo album. Stream got maybe like 2 weeks left on his solo album. After that, it's all Dayton family. We just going to use these solo projects to open the door since we got so much visuals for them and so much. We didn't put so much into them. So we're going to do them. And then that's going to give us some time to catch the summer for the Dayton family. And after that, we won't miss a summer. We're going to drop one every summer until they stop buying them.
Yeah.
Right. Y'all still fuck with Jake, too?
Like, yeah, I just Jake did the Cannabis Cup with me. John Connor, too. I want to send some shout-outs to him, man. John doing big shit from Flint, too. You know, he signed over there, Aftermath. He on that soundtrack. He got two songs on the soundtrack, the Straight Outta Compton movie. So he doing good things, fucking with Mateen Cleaves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's one guy I talked with String about him, and I used to talk to him. As a matter of fact, right before he died, right before he was murdered, he was going to send me his mixtape, Bone Scandalous.
Bone Scandalous was the shit.
Yeah, that's Shoestring's first cousin, man. You know, both of them dead. Key got killed 1 week after Bone, his group member.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scambino Mob, yep.
Both of them got killed.
Scambino Mob could have been big, if you ask me.
Oh, them boys was rough, man. You know what? I'm gonna tell you something, my nigga, man. I'm gonna tell you a lesson that I've learned, and you know, not just speaking on them, but just period, man. When you try to actually live everything that you rap about, because you feel like that's being 100% authentic, it's gonna lead to you losing your life where you having to kill somebody. You know what I mean? I mean, you can paint pictures from all different kind of angles. You can paint pictures from the sideline. You don't always have to be in the game to paint the picture. And some cats literally was taking that killing shit to that shoot 'em up kill shit literally. You know what I mean? And one thing about that door comes in a circle, man. When you shoot somebody, man, eventually a motherfucker gonna shoot you. That's just
damn
the natural rotation.
What goes around comes around type shit.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
Scambino Mob, I thought they was cold as a motherfucker. Still to this day, I bump Scambino, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because hey, when you listen to Scambino music, you listening to the truth, them truth stories.
Yeah, that's the, and you know, it's crazy, the way he went, too. I think it was with his, if I'm not mistaken, with one of his relatives or whatever. It's just horrible. It's horrible, man.
Yeah.
Horrible. But like you said, you lived that life, and you know, a lot of people gone. You know, like you just said, Nick Scarfo. Before that, the guy from Helter Skelter. Who was before that, Mac J? There was another one that recently passed. It came in threes. It was like literally within 3 days of each other.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I can't even remember who the last one was.
Shine Prince. From Helter Skelter, and it was somebody else right before that, but that's just how it go, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
dude from UDI, I was a big influence.
Hussein, Hussein Fatal from the Outlaws, man.
Hussein Fatal from the Outlaws too.
Yeah, he just passed away. Who was on the album that I asked you about earlier when you was on the Terror Club Up Thugs album? You know what I'm saying? He was on that album as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was Breed right here, man, too. He fucked with Breed heavy.
Yeah, Hussein Fatal was a cold MC, too. Like, I wish we could have got him on the show before his untimely death. You know what I'm saying? Because he was one of those guys, too. You know what I'm saying? He was, like, relatively loud. You guys had some... Y'all sold a lot of records from, like, 97 to 2000. You know what I'm saying?
Sir.
Like, I seen Paul and them come up on Relativity and Loud. You know what I'm saying? Like, leaving Memphis, and they was already big to coming to Missouri, and, like, damn, they got a video. You know what I'm saying? Like, to have a video on BET or MTV was, like, big shit back then.
That's why the game's so fucking blurry, man.
Yeah. Like to see your ad a motherfucking Bone Thugs ad or a 3-6 Mafia ad or a Dayton Family ad or a Twista ad in a magazine, and I was all the way in the South. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I see it when I'm in Chicago, it's like, yeah, they in a magazine. But if I'm all the way down south and I see it, I'm like, these motherfuckers made it, man. Like,
that
they
was
in
the,
this
it
motherfucker.
That's what we had. You know what I'm saying? That's the first person I heard out there was Keyshawn, followed by Breed. You know what I'm saying? Shortly followed by you guys. You know, you guys really, really were pioneers, man. You know, and the Midwest, I don't think it gets its credit. I think there's one or a couple guys that really get all the shine. But there's a lot of other guys that paved the way for those individuals. Like, for example, Eminem. You know, where would he be if he had not passed that tape to Dre? But at the same token, you know, look back at your city. You know what I'm saying? Why hadn't he been on track with the Dave family from Flint? Or I know he had beef with Isham or whatnot, but still. You know, pay homage to those before you. Still,
that's what
you guys did. You paid homage to
Have you guys ever got in contact or got up close with like an Eminem or any of the D12 members that was like, man, we grew up listening to y'all shit, man. We love to work with y'all and do shit like that.
Yeah, only a couple, man. I fuck with Bizarre. I did like 3 or 4 shows with Bizarre. He a funny, fun motherfucker. And before Proof passed away, he used to run with Breed all the time, too. So I used to fuck with Proof, too.
Yeah. Breed was the shit, though, man, for real. Breed was, and then he fucked with Pac too. So like, we was already loving Pac anyway, and then Breed from the Midwest was like, man, this nigga doing the same shit, man.
We wanted to put Breed
on the chrome just because of the song. We wanted to put Breed on the chrome. That's all I wanted
to say.
Man,
listen, I remember that. Like, Tupac was shooting above the rim, and when he was shooting above the rim, he was staying with Breed in Breed basement. Jazzy Faye was staying in Breed basement before Jazzy Faye was even Jazzy Faye. Well, I went to my first Freaknik with Tupac, Breed. It was Andre Rison, SWV, TLC. Nigga, I'm in the club. I'm a teenager, nigga, and that was the shit to me.
Doing that shit. That's what's up, man.
What was Tupac like? This is like some of the fondest memories I had, man. When I got to Atlanta, we riding the strip. We in the back of Breed Jeep. It's Breed, DOC, me, and Pac. Bitches was crashing their cars into each other, trying to look at this nigga. They was hitting the back of each other's cars.
Jesus,
I'm gonna tell you another story that stick with me. When I got up in VIP, we was in Club 112 in Atlanta. When I got upstairs in the VIP, I went over to SWV table and tried to compliment them. Now, keep in mind, it's my first record out, so I'm really not nobody to them. They stars at this time. So the bitches kind of shunned me off, kind of like dissed me. And Pac walked up to me and hugged me and introduced me to the hoes, and they was on my dick after that.
So Pac put you on. Hey, look, and he probably gave you that hug just because he seen what they did to you.
Yeah, definitely. He saw the brush off from across the room.
Oh, man, that's some G shit, man.
that was a three-pointer for you right there, man. That was hit fade away from the three-point line.
Yes, sir.
That's That's what's up, man. I'm glad y'all did that, man. For sure, man. I'm glad you here to tell us this story too.
My brother.
Shut them bitches down.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
DLC was with you, man. What was the DLC like?
I can tell you so many stories, man, about the select. Look, man, I ain't going into detail because I ain't know how much time we really had. You know what I mean? But like Lisa, man. Lisa was a fucking player, man. Lisa had motherfuckers like, we go to one club, she ride with a nigga. We get to that club, she jump out the car with that nigga, jump in the car with another nigga. Follow me, bootleg. We go to another club, she club hop. We club hopped in Atlanta, nigga, till the sun come up. We go back to the crib, nigga, we smoking good, talking shit, man. And all I remember is the bad bitches in her house, man. It was so many bad bitches,
man,
in her house, dog. Dog, I didn't want to leave, nigga. I'm talking about, nigga, I was there for like 4 days. I didn't want to leave.
Right. Shit, I wouldn't have left either. Shit.
I'm telling
you. They made me leave.
I'm telling
you. Like, you got to go, bro. You got to go. You got to go. I was like, man, I don't know where to go, but shit, I got to go. God damn. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Man, that's real shit, man. I'm glad you're telling us this shit, man. Because
we
people need to hear
had,
these stories, man.
Dennis Hoff on one of the shows. For the Bunny Ranch, you ever get to make it out to the Bunny Ranch?
Nah, man, I seen it though. I done seen it on TV, man. I be looking at it like, man, for that type of money though, I could fuck better bitches in Flint for that. If you gonna fuck off that kind of money, man, you know what
right,
I'm saying?
Or you could be on some Jacob fella and you could take your bitches out there and they get the same.
That's the lane I'm in. I don't want to be no customer of that motherfucker.
What about Jacob Fella? Let me ask you about Jacob Fella, though, because I done seen him on pretty much. Jacob Fella had a show kind of like Dennis Hoff, almost. It wasn't all the way to where they gave him the same funding. But he the black Hugh Hefner, and they showed him in the mansion. He got this and that. And so many people hated on that because he just this dark-skinned-ass black dude that he probably don't look like Denzel. He don't look like whoever they think that's the top. You know, the top black person is supposed to look like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but he done had two of the finest lily white, purest cotton snow white gals out there making that money for him and showing them love and shit like that.
Let me tell you something, man. I just was with Jake, man, a few days ago, right? And it's the truth, 100% top to bottom. Jake is a businessman as well. Hey, Jake got a company, man. The girls that Jake fuck with, they not selling pussy. They go to work, dance, right? They put up quotas. He make them invest in things. He send them to school. He put their kids in daycare. They like a family. Jake and his girls like more like a family. They ain't walking the streets or tricking or none of that.
Mm-hmm.
All Jake put his girls in exclusive clubs. They dance. They book about 2,000-3,000 every other day a piece. So Jake put up maybe like 7,000 to 8,000 every couple of days just off the girls.
Right. Yeah. See, I always felt that though, because everybody else would look at it like, oh, he's a pimp. He's pimping you. He's just managing what they was gonna do any motherfucking way.
That's right. And he put them in a lifestyle that they fighting to get anyway. You in a big, you know, 8-10 bedroom house. You know what I'm saying? All your shopping is provided for. You riding the newest vehicles. Everything that you would do if you had the money by yourself anyway.
Right.
You know? So he ain't doing nothing but managing the money. That's all he is an accountant. That's what he is.
Yeah.
Right. I would love to see all y'all do something again, man. Bring this game back to where it need to be, man. At least for your guys in Flint. You know what I'm saying? If your guys in Flint, like the young guys from your town and your area, they want to hop on the... And I ain't going to say nothing wrong with the swag movement, but the swag movement ain't everybody. You know what I'm saying? But
exactly.
If they want to be on what Flint is on, I'm glad that y'all still doing it. So these young guys, you know, their daddies used to listen to you. You know
there
what I'm saying?
Go.
Like the
there
young
you
niggas
go.
That's rapping, they know you because of their daddy. They like, man, my daddy used to listen to the Dayton family. They from Dayton Ave, man. Like,
exactly.
We know about Dayton Ave and ain't never seen that motherfucker.
My bro.
But we know what to do when we come to Dayton Ave. You know what I'm saying?
There you
like,
go.
I know
my
what
bro.
To do when I come to Dayton Ave because of the Dayton family.
My bro.
You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
That's as real as it get. You know what I'm saying? We know what to do when we come to Flint, Michigan. Because everybody got somebody to live in Flint, Michigan. Or know somebody that's from that part. Or, you know, we all the same, man. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And I'm
that's
glad
true
y'all still doing it. I'm glad y'all still doing it, man.
And we appreciate having some people out there that still love us, man. And when you get to this point in the game, I just appreciate all the love you can get, man, because there ain't enough of it floating around.
Yeah, you sure right about that.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to, I'm stuck in the 90s. I'm stuck around 95, 96. That's my favorite era. I can't fuck with the swaggery that's going on right now. I mean, it's, to me, what it is this. Okay, you had a lot of people that built up hip-hop, right? And you got these new motherfuckers. Spice One said it great. You got these new motherfuckers coming in. They're disrespecting the legacies that you guys laid down, the foundations that you laid down.
I agree, too.
Like that dude Chance the Rapper. He came out with that album, Acid Rap. Didn't even realize that shit was invented 25 fucking years ago.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something, man. Sometimes I have to bite my tongue, man, when I see my sons on the internet, man, and they get to doing them little dances and shit. But I keep my mind open and say that, you know, this day era, I got to let them like what they like, you know. But I always steer them back, you know what I'm saying? I put them up on DMC. I steer them back like, nigga, go check this out, see if you can vibe to this. If you catch it, you'll be surprised. My son's 11 and 13, and they'll spit you Cool J, Rakim.
Yeah.
You know, they go back that way. You know
and
what I mean?
DMC, it's, yeah. You gotta,
right.
You almost, not to cut you off, you almost gotta let them hear DMC.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, DMC.
That's what
he got some new shit,
don't he? Listening, the boards were having technical difficulties, so if you're trying to call in, Blog Talk's a shitty site. They've been having problems the last few days. Matter of fact, last night we couldn't even go live, but, we're trying to have DMC on the show in the future too, so make sure to look out for
right,
that.
Hey, Prez, look at this right quick. Why I got both of y'all here? Six just hit me up. He said, "Fuck you, mean Mac. You ain't got nothing against the swag movie." I ain't saying that, Six, but what I'm saying is these motherfuckers gonna do what they gotta do anyway. I don't fuck with that swag shit, man. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers they on this and that. It's a good venue for. Especially if y'all still doing music or not. Like, I can keep telling my sons about the Dayton family. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to hear FBI. My son don't want to hear FBI. He don't want
to
hear that. Even if I play it every day because
that's a
he already didn't heard it.
No, I know what he's saying. He's saying that this, he's
yeah.
just like my sons, man. They on their ears.
They don't
want to
hear
it into a different sound.
Yeah, they don't want to hear that, but I think that they still will listen to guys like y'all. You know what I'm saying? But they don't have the avenues to listen to it because you ain't wearing skinny jeans or you ain't at the MTV Music Awards. You wasn't at the Straight Outta Compton movie. Because, for real, even if they had a special about the Straight Outta Compton, they didn't show everybody on the red carpet. They just show who they wanted to show. So
that's
my
right.
cousin, they don't want to hear that. But I feel like the shit that y'all can still bring to the table – they will still listen to it.
I got you, bro. This new music, I'm gonna tell you at the end of the day. Right now, man, the younger generation, in my opinion, is buying, they loving beats, man. They not even, you can get on a motherfucking hard ass beat and just sing some shit and they love it. You know what I mean? I listen to some music, I'll be like, I can't believe y'all bobbing your head to this goofy ass shit. This motherfucker ain't even rapping about nothing. It ain't nothing but a dope
right,
ass beat.
That's the only thing that's carrying these motherfuckers is the music. Because technology got better, so the music is way better than what it was back in the day. That's
yes,
the only
sir.
Thing that's carrying them. That's what I've
yep.
been saying. I'm like, the only reason why Drake and half of these other motherfuckers is really popping is because the producers is really making some out-the-world type of music.
That's right.
But they got the wrong motherfuckers spitting on top of it.
That's right.
Y'all
that's
need
right,
to come
man.
Back here and start snatching these tracks from these motherfuckers, man.
Yep, I'm with you on that. I think I'm going to get y'all one of them. I think I'm going to take, like, the 10 best motherfucking records, the 10 hottest ones in the country right now, all rap records, and just tear they shit down. That's what I think I'm going to do.
Yeah, for real, because that's the only thing that's carrying them. Like, I heard the dude Fetty Wap, what's the song?
Fetty Wap.
Queen or some shit.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing the shit. But then I seen a video. It's on Facebook right now. I don't know who page it's on. Or I would give him a shout out right now, but I can't think of who page it's on. But it's a video with Fetty Wap doing that same song without the auto tune shit on his voice.
Sound terrible.
Man, it sound like a fucking karaoke. You can go to karaoke and hear better than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this was the guy that wrote the song.
And I'm like, but the microphone went out. It didn't sound the way it was supposed to sound, put it like that. And I'm like, this is some bullshit,
yeah, but,
man.
Yeah, because niggas
are
behind 13 layers.
My son's
going to
spend $15 for that shit. I want to smack him upside his head for that shit. Like, I could have kept that.
Right.
That's what you bought? You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck.
My
I could have dubbed you something. I could have dubbed my son something.
With my little one, you know, I got a you know, 12-year-old daughter, so she's actually into classical music. So, you know, it's crazy. We go on road trips, you know, because she plays, you know, clarinet and whatnot. We go on road trips. I listen to her classical music, and I want to throw in Date Family Isham, you know what I'm saying? But how could I be bumping, you know what I'm saying, you know, Bloodbath or something, you know, with my daughter sitting right next to me. So I got to wait till she's out of the car before I really do it. Sometimes I will. Sometimes I forget, you know. But you know, but you guys got sons, you know what I'm saying? You guys can bond with them about that, you know what I'm saying, type of music versus a guy with a daughter, you know, so you know,
I agree.
It's a different game when you got a daughter, that's for sure. Definitely. Plus you gotta keep her away from all them little young motherfuckers too. Gotta keep her away from all those little swaggots. Well, I really don't have to worry because a lot of them nowadays they're not even interested in women. I was telling somebody that in a couple generations you're gonna have like this new offset humanoid that's gonna be like an hermaphrodite that could fuck itself like an earthworm. You know what I'm saying? Man? We're going in a fucked up direction pretty fast. How do you feel, Bootleg, when something is pretty much forced upon you? Like you sit down, you watch an NBA game, and you see Dwayne Wade come out in like a woman's work suit with women's shoes on, and
it's a fucking
blouse.
Shame. It's a fucking shame because society is making it so acceptable. Look at Kate Jenner and all this. It just seems like they're trying to turn everything gay, man.
Yeah.
The movie's gay. The you know, the game's getting gayer. It's like they're overdoing it. Like they're saturating everything with it. Like they're going for. I mean, the day I thought I would see a black man wear full tight fitting ass cutting jeans was the last thing I ever imagined happened in my life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she pulled her panties down and the bitch had a dick. I mean, that's
right
now,
right?
You know what I'm
right.
saying? He was a futurist. I mean, that shit's real. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. But, you know, aside from that, man, I want to thank you for calling into this show.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back on. If anybody wants to get at you for... you know, verses or for shows.
Listen,
what's the
man,
best way they can reach you?
I'm 100. You can call me directly, man. I'm a real motherfucker. Call me directly on my cell phone, 734-883-7577. Oh, that's 734-883-7577. That's my real cell. I'm going to answer that motherfucker. No manager, no nothing.
See, and that's the thing, man. I respect that because everybody's like, well, hit the Twitter, hit the SoundCloud, hit the Reverb, hit the Facebook, hit this, the Ustream. I don't even know how many of them there are anymore. There's 100 of them.
You're
right. Just like,
nah,
here's
man,
my number.
If you're gonna fuck with, your people, man, fuck with them directly. What you gonna send them through the hoops and loops for? Call me and we can talk about it and get it out of the way.
There you go. There you go, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, I definitely appreciate you coming back on the show. You're welcome here anytime. Same with Shoestring. Same with you know, everybody from the Dave family. And we
okay,
look forward
hey,
to
hey, I appreciate y'all having me, bro.
Definitely. Hey, before we go, can I get a drop from you for UGS Radio?
UGS Radio. Okay, hold on. Let me. What all you need? UGS
and
Radio.
Just UGS
yeah,
Radio.
Yeah, you
want
to do it?
Okay, hold on. Let me do this right here so I can make a little mental note right quick.
I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, no problem. Let me see something here. Hold on, son. I need a pen, man. Let me
Where you at, the barbecue spot? Chinaman restaurant? Where you at,
who,
man?
Me?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm at the crib and shit. My boys got their little homies over here, man, over here on his Xbox slapping down.
Well, they're what's in that gamer tag out, too, though?
What's
me and
that
Six,
now?
We get at you. We fuck with that Xbox, too. You know
okay. Yeah, they all online, man. They deep. Hold on. Okay, I got one right here, my niggas. Hold on, let me see, man. I'm all over this motherfucker. Give me the names. Just give me the names. I'm gonna remember it.
It's a UGS radio at UGS for Life.
UGS. No, I gotta write it down, because I'm gonna fuck up and I'm gonna have to just do it two or three times before I get the motherfucker, man. Hold on. It's a damn shame you would think a motherfucker that write as much as I do have a fucking pen around this motherfucker.
Hey, man, you stay at school all day and got no pens around him.
Right, man.
My kids be the same way. They be like, you got a pen. I'm like, you been at school all day. You ain't got no pencil. The hell?
My brother, hold on. I got you, Mom. All
right,
give it to me now.
Hunter Spooks and Crow 38 out of Flint wanted me to shout at you. They said Hunter Spooks and Crow 38, they said they're looking forward to promoting your movement. They're out of Flint.
Oh, okay. You can send them a message back for me?
Yeah, for sure. I'll hit them up.
Yeah, I'll just let them know. Love is love. USG Radio, right?
UGS Radio.
UGS. UGS. UGS Radio. Okay,
yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
UGS Radio. All right, anything else you want me to mention?
No, that's good.
No names? No nothing?
No, you can say there's a lot of hosts over here. I mean, I'm
okay,
Fred,
but I mean anything that's the main. Those the main things I need to mention though.
Shit, you're listening to Murder Master Music Show on UGS Radio.
That's it. Yeah.
Murder Master Music Show.
Music Show.
What was the rest of it you said? Murder Master Music Show
on UGS Radio.
On UGS Radio. Okay, I got you. Murder Master Music Show. All right, I'm with you. Just let me know when you're ready for me to go.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, Bootleg.
Yo, what's happening, man? It's your man Bootleg from the Dayton family. I'm just rocking out on the Murder Master Music Show on UGS Radio. Fuck with us.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. You did one for me. This is the one you did for me in about 2005. Here we go.
What's happening? It's Bootleg, the Rock Capone from the Dayton family, putting it down on the Murder Master Music Show with Scott Bader. Y'all get at me.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Thanks for
that. Yeah,
I'm about to say, Bootleg, hold on, Fred, before you let him go. Do you remember doing that?
No, I don't. That's why he fucked me up when I heard him play it. Yeah.
Yeah, there was Ted Murder and Esham, and I forget Uncle Luke. Luke's in there, I think. You know, so
too.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. You're one of the greats, Bootleg.
I appreciate
care of yourself,
you,
bro.
Yeah, but we'll do, man. Y'all be safe, man.
Yeah, you too, man.
Okay, one love.